Well, good morning again.
What an honor it is to stand before you this morning one last time in this capacity as pastor here. I was trying to keep my emotions in check today, and then Pastor Bob this morning lays his hands on me and prays this fantastic prayer, and then Don decides to sing my tribute. So I don't know what these guys are trying to do to me, but as I was thinking about this weekend and thinking about what I might share this morning, I had several thoughts, and one of the things that came to my mind was something that I actually heard my dad say just a couple times in ministry. He said, the hardest messages to preach are the very first and the very last. And I can't, standing here right now, I can guarantee you he was right. I cannot disagree with that statement. I can remember my first message here. I can still remember the fear and anxiety leading up to that weekend service. Not only speaking to you for the very first time, having a message from the Word of God, but all the details that go into a service like this, you were very gracious to me, but if you would have just walked up to me and said boo to my face that day, I literally would have just passed out right on the floor. I mean, I can still remember. You know, and some of you might be thinking, why don't you get a little bit more of that fear and anxiety back and say something a little bit challenging or good to us today? I don't know where you're at on that, but here we are nonetheless. In July of this year, Jill and I would have been here 6 years, and we will always say 6 years. I hope you will spot us a couple months, let us round up. It just captures it better than saying 5 years, 10 months for the rest of our lives. So we're going to say 6 years, and what a wonderful 6 years it has been for us to live here in Concordia. And what I want to do for a few minutes this morning is just share with you the journey that I've been on and how us as a family and how you were and are and will continue to be a very real and tangible part of this thing that God has called us to. James 1, 17 and 18 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And Concordia Wesleyan, you guys will forever be remembered by the Griffin family as one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. Here we go. As one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us in this life. Again, Mom, I know it's Mother's Day, but I got to talk about Dad a little bit more here this morning. My dad was a pastor. I put for some 25 years. Mom, I asked her yesterday, and she said it was closer to 30. 30 years he was in full-time ministry before he died, and I actually never knew my father outside of that role. I was born into a pastor's family, much like my son, Luke. Our youngest was born after we became in full-time ministry. My parents serving in full-time ministry played a huge role in how God has been able to shape me and to lead me as I have served in ministry. And looking back, he was preparing me long before I ever knew of the call on my life and calling me to the things that he would have me do. And as I grew up, as I felt God calling me to ministry in high school, my dad would take opportunities to tell me stories from his life and from his call. And looking back, at the time I didn't realize it, but looking back now as a father, it was obvious what he was doing. He was seizing those moments in time to pass on fatherly advice to his son who was following in his footsteps. And when he knew that God had called me to ministry, he began to tell me really two things that stand out to me, two significant things. He used to tell me these things repeatedly. First, he would tell me how critical it was to marry well, to make sure that I was sure that the woman that I was dating, and if I was to consider to marry her, to make sure that she had her own calling in her own way to ministry, that she was called to be in the life of full-time ministry, and not just doing what I'm doing, but she must have the hand of God on her life as well. And not to brag or anything, but I hit that one out of the park. Okay, let's just be honest. I did. We all know it's true. I married up. I married fantastically. And in all seriousness, Jill's love for me and for God and my love for her and for God is nothing short of the supernatural grace that God really wants to give us in all of our relationships. When you make it all about him. You see, when it's all about God, he will never leave you where you're at in your relationships. Our most significant relationships God is always at work in those. He will never leave them where he's at, whether you see that or not. So that was the first thing that my dad told me. The other thing my dad stressed over and over was how important it was to be very careful who I let have authority in my life for my first church and for my first job in full-time ministry. Be very careful who I let speak into my life and shape me in my very first job. And he would tell me stories about his first associate pastor's job and how blessed he was to have the church that he had and how blessed he was to have the boss and the senior pastor that he had. And he would talk to me about guys that he went to school with who had loads of potential, who were far superior in an academic sense and a theological sense to even where he was at. And when they graduated from college and took their first full-time job, they went to maybe a situation they shouldn't have gone to, a broken church, an unhealthy church, or they went under a pastor who didn't let them thrive in ministry, but who damaged them in ministry. And he would tell me about guys who, their first job, whether the church had a warped view or whatever the situation was, they were hurt right out of the blocks in ministry. They were damaged for life, and some never served in ministry again, regardless of the call of God in their life and years of preparation. And it was only after a matter of a few years that they were done with serving in ministry forever. He would say, Brad, make sure that you are extremely careful what kind of church you take for your first job and what kind of man your first senior pastor is, because he will either set you up for a lifetime of healthy ministry or he will severely damage you and potentially crush you for life. And well, and at the risk of sounding a bit braggadocious this morning, I nailed that one too. I hit that one out of the park. So two for two. Merriwell, got it. Pick a fantastic first church and a first group of people. I nailed it. Two for two. And, you know, with all seriousness, I guarantee you that you will never be able to fully understand in this life what you have meant to Jill and I and our family. Our lives were all about Jesus before we came. It was all about Jesus while we were here, and it's going to be all about Jesus for all of us after we go. But while we were here, we made it all about God. But in all of that, in our delight and our desire to serve him with everything we've had, God gave us you. Holding it together. I'm doing awesome, by the way. You should be clapping right now that I'm not just up here in a heap. You know, before we came here, Jill and I spent an entire year sending out resumes and filling out applications. There were churches who wanted us to come and pastor there, and we knew in our spirit it was not right, and we would say no. There were places where we wanted to go and we felt like it was a fit for them, and they would say no to us because they knew in their spirit that we were not a fit for them. And then one day on Memorial Day weekend, 2006, I sent my resume to a church someplace in North Central Kansas, and Jill and I knew the first time we visited Concordia that we were home. And on behalf of myself and my family, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for opening up your lives to us. You know, we have done more than serve here. We really have. We have been served here. We have lived fully here. Our lives have been here. This is home to our kids. You know, when we came, we only had two kids. We're leaving more than we came with, even in that regard. And as a church, you have loved and encouraged and supported Jill and I in ministry, and you have helped us become more and more who God has called us to be and who God wants us to be. And I can honestly say that 6 years ago, I would never have dreamed about going and doing the things that I'm about to do. But after God has worked on us and after you have helped us and let us be ourselves and let God be himself to us, I honestly cannot imagine life any differently. I cannot imagine a more perfect path to have walked on than the path that God has had us walking on together in my life and in your life over the past 6 years. And I can say with all honesty that we have gotten far more than we have ever given. And you will never know how your love and support have set the tone for our lives, literally for the rest of our lives. You know, when we stand here in this sanctuary in 2 weeks for the last time as pastors here, we will not be saying goodbye to a job, because this really has never been work to us. It has never felt like work Well, maybe filling out the forms for the annual service reports. But outside of that, it's never felt like a job because it's never been work. We will be saying goodbye to friends and to family. God builds faith families. And I believe so strongly in the local church. God builds families of faith. So I really hope you hear this today. I desperately hope that as you send us off, that you recognize in a fresh way that the things God has called us to and the things that God has called this church to still remain one and the same. God does not change. We leave here to go do another work, but your work in us does not end, but rather we will continue to forever be an extension of you, and you will forever continue to be an extension of us, because that's what happens when Christians come together and serve under the mission of God. We are together forever. We are continually bonded together in faith, and people will find new life in Christ because of the work that you are sending us to do. So thank you for your faithfulness to God and your love for us. Okay, so if you haven't figured it out by now, my family and I are moving. We are moving to a small Midwest American town in Wyoming. More specifically, we're moving to Wheatland, Wyoming. And we are moving to Wheatland to be a part of a brand new church plant. There's a church in Cheyenne, Wyoming called Element Church. And with them, we are planting a new church in Wheatland, Wyoming. And here's a bit of that story. In the fall of last year, I was driving up the road to O'Neill to pick up my mom, and we were heading on to Rapid City to visit my grandma, who was sick in the hospital. And in those few hours between Concordia and O'Neill, in the solitude of my car, I was praying for you, and I was praying for this church, and I was asking God for direction as one of the pastors here, and we were just praying through some stuff. And it was one of those rare moments that you just cherish, where you're just firing. The Spirit is just speaking into your spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me with a strength and a clarity that does not happen every day. And he said to me in no small way, he said, "Brad, I want you to leave Concordia and go be a part of a new church plant." And in that moment, as I fought to keep the car on the highway, I mean, that was my number one focus at that moment, my mind just began to explode with the banquet of emotions that follows a extraordinary supernatural encounter with God himself. And my mind was exploding with questions that were impossible to answer in that moment, that didn't need answered in that moment. I mean, my brain was just going fast and I could think. And the dominant thought of my mind, honestly, was, what just happened? What is going on here? And God knew that I knew that I had heard what he just said. So we just kind of sat there together quietly in the car. And even as I tried to say to God, "What did you just say to me? Did I hear you right?" He would just sit there quietly. I could feel his presence. And every once in a while, he would just quietly speak to my spirit. And he'd say, "You know you heard me." I'd say, "Okay. I don't know what this means, but okay." So when I picked up my mom and O'Neill, I shot her question after question after question on the six-hour drive. Because 30 years ministry experience, "Mom, tell me about this transition. Tell me about when you did a church plant. Tell me this. What were you thinking? How'd you know?" And I think she kind of enjoyed how talkative I was, because I have a tendency to just, I can sit for hours and be quiet. So I think she kind of enjoyed the conversation a little bit. It was a nice change of pace for her. But these last few months of transition have been some of the sweetest times in my spiritual life and in the life of my family. And as I've worked through this process with the church staff and the board and telling the students of Delta Chi and then announcing it publicly to the church and to the community, this has really been a time in our lives when God's grace and peace and strength and blessing have been on me and my family in a very tangible, sustainable way. God has been sweet to us in this time of transition. And I'm here today, honestly, to give testimony to the fact that God is very much alive and real, and that he takes very seriously his call and his promises to those who he calls and those who say they will follow. And in that, I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about you and me. God takes that very, very seriously. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. When you decide to serve God with everything you have, when you go all in, You will have no idea what you're in for, but once you've tasted the things that God's children can taste in this life, you will never be satisfied with anything short of all God has to offer. You know, it's all about Him. It always has been, and it always will be. And after being here for 6 years, and after a lifetime of knowing and serving God, I can honestly say that I have never been more aware of my need for Him than I am today. I can honestly tell you that I have never been more desperate for His Word in my life than I am right now. And I can honestly tell you that I've never had as great a longing for the life of grace, for the grace of Jesus Christ, for the love of God, and for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit than I do right now in my life. It the deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I can honestly say that with all my heart, that I have this unexplainable honor of living a life of service. But I want to say this because I think we get confused in the church. Don't confuse living a life of service with a life of sacrifice. Because under the blood of Jesus Christ, what we do as believers is not sacrifice. The final sacrifice has already been paid once and for all. There is no longer a need, this is what Scripture says, there is no longer a need for ongoing sacrifice because Jesus paid the debt for all of eternity that was demanded by God for the sins of man. And church, please hear me on this. We now live in the fullness of God. And let me tell you, when you give God all of yourself and God gives you all of Himself, we win every time. We cannot outgive, outserve, or outlove the God who we call Father. You know, this life is not a sacrifice. It is literally the greatest privilege you can live. And I can't always explain it, but I can say that serving God, sometimes in honor and sometimes in weakness, that I have always, always, always gotten far more than I could have ever dreamed of giving. You know, Jesus, He isn't promising it's easy. In fact, He said it wouldn't be. He never said that we wouldn't have trouble. In fact, He promises that we will. But what He did say is that when we are with Him and He is with us, that we will not fail because we will have everything we need abundantly. You know, you will notice the elements of communion sitting here beside me today. The juice representing the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf, the blood sacrifice that made the atonement for our sins, and the bread representing the body of Christ that was beaten and broken as to fulfill the prophecies of God regarding Christ's suffering and our redemption. And in these closing moments, as we turn our hearts towards Jesus yet again, and more specifically, as we prepare to take communion together, allow me to share with you one last passage of Scripture that I absolutely love that captures the hope and the promise offered to us by the Word of God. It is in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm reading verses 1 through 10. Hear these words of God. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In a moment, the ushers are going to come and they're going to serve us communion. And we do not require in the Wesleyan Church that you be a member of this church. We do not require that you be a member of the denomination. But Scripture is clear that to partake in communion, a holy sacrament, you must have a real and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul writes that if you do not, if you enter into this covenant lightly, you are drinking the judgment of God upon yourself. So we are going to take some time as you hold the elements to sit, prayerfully be reflective, allow God to speak to you. If you choose not to participate, no one's looking around, that is your choice. But if the ushers would please come and serve us this morning. And I will end with this: as the ushers come to serve us communion, may the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. as I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had blessed it, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, you do it in remembrance of me. Take the cup. Father, this morning, beyond question, what we've just done is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The wonderful opportunity for your body to come together and celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we do it, Lord, in remembrance of you and the many promises that you've made to us, that you will never partake of the fruit of the vine again until you do it with us in your kingdom. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we actually celebrate your death, your resurrection, and your promise to us that you'll come again and give us a new world. And Lord, today our hearts are warmed, our spirits are warmed, the wonderful thing that you've done for us. Truly, if it weren't for you, Lord Jesus, we would all perish. So, Father, today we celebrate with the joy of gladness, with much thanksgiving and praise for what you've done for us. And we thank you together this morning for dying for us on the cross, for atoning for our sin, and then giving us this wonderful kingdom and the wonderful opportunity to serve you together. We worship you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.